The University of Detroit Mercy presents an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program. Today's show takes us back to October 2005.
Hello and welcome to Ask the Professor, the radio show where you match wits with University of Detroit witless professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers here in Motown. So let me introduce today's panel so we can get this party started. To my left, from the Department of Philosophy, its outgoing chair, but always a pleasure as a teacher and colleague, Professor Beth Oljar.
Although, as Marty announced when we were having a discussion of this, in some sense, Beth is always going to be the chair of the department.
And you said, no. No.
We got some disco music at the beginning there, though. Made me think of New Year's Eve. Kathy and I always have to get our dose of disco on.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, disco was not like a kidney stone. It did not pass. And there you go. But it's great. There it is.
It's very painful when it does.
It surely does. And sitting next to Beth from the College of Engineering and Science, the Department of Mathematics, the Director of Math Education, and the guy who can do percentages in his head, it's Professor Jeff Boats.
Upside down, Kathy. You turn me inside out and round and round.
But that was a really bad song.
I was thinking Diana Ross disco. Miss Ross.
No,
the
we
boss.
Like Ring My Bells.
Yeah, you can ring my bells. That's right. Indeed, or Fly Robin Fly.
I'm partial
one of
to
the
funky
cheesiest
down.
Disco songs ever written.
I Will Survive.
Oh, there you go.
Gloria Gaynor.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that and who's the woman, one hit wonders? Evelyn Champagne Carter.
I Love the Nightlife.
I Love the Nightlife. Yeah, what a great tune. Yeah. Sitting at the far end of the table, our man of media, the movie master of the panel, it's Professor Jerry Kurtzinger from Communication Studies.
I must tell you about the latest movie in our house.
Let's hear it.
I tuned in for a few minutes with Dylan to watch Undercover Brother. Eddie Griffin gets the fro cuff. He says, yes. He stops, he goes, "You mess with the fro, you must go." My son was dying through this whole... He wasn't quite getting all the jokes, but he was laughing anyway, particularly at James Brown. Who's that guy?
And, an American icon.
No, but no, I explained
okay.
it and everything.
Oh, good. I know
and
you
then
would.
He says, when Mom comes home, I'm going to ask her to get that movie so we can have a family movie night and watch Undercover Brother. And the part that I liked was great was when he hits the eject button on the 8-track and the tape flies out and hits the motorcycle guy in the head and he wipes out. Then he hits the Afro Sheen button and then the other motorcycle hits the Sheen and he wipes out.
Excellent.
And it was such a fun... Eddie Griffin is so good.
Oh, Eddie
and
Griffin
then when he goes white, it's really hilarious. He's got Dockers and a sweater and Celine Dion records.
I saw that movie.
Celine Dion music? Oh,
so it's... It's just too funny. It's really highly recommended, folks. Eddie Griffin is really funny.
Okay, there's a tip from Jerry, a man who knows film. Now, to my right, near the head of the table.
That's my non-scholarly recommendation.
That's okay. We don't have to be scholarly. That's scholarly on a Friday. From the Department of Philosophy and Director of the University Honors Program, and an honorary Motown maven himself, it's Professor David Kokol.
Thank you. You know, ever since you guys invited me back onto the program, there's this bit of trivia that I thought I'd throw out.
Great.
And it's driving me nuts because I actually can't, I don't know the answer. Remember the TV show Mannix?
Yes.
I'm sure everybody does. Mm-hmm. Who was the actor? I can picture him.
Okay, the character was
Mike Connors was the guy, and he had a black secretary.
He had
black hair.
Black hair, kind of Italian or Greek looking. Yeah.
It was Joe something. I can't think of the name.
I can't believe it.
Okay, well, hey, listeners, help us out.
This is a real Mannix depression.
Yes, that's it. So we need that. And sitting next to David, our special guest, who we didn't hold hostage, but we did let her back in the building for another Friday, it's Honorary Professor Sharon Vlahovic.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
And we are so glad that you could come back and join us on Friday. So, we're asking you to help us out with that Mannix question. Hey, we're happy to answer any questions that you send to us. They can be on any topic you wish. But I was going to say, poor Jerry, isn't it awful when you can picture someone and you can't think of the name?
Yeah.
But send us things about names, dead people, whatever. And how can you how can you get those questions to us? Well, you may send them to our website and check it out while you're doing it. That's ATP for Ask the Prof at udmercy.edu. Or send it care of the U.S. Postal Service to University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols, Detroit, Michigan, 48221. Now, on our last show, we were just finishing up with some questions from Tom DeWitt of Farmington Hills. And I think we'll send him a winner's package.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mike Connors played Joe Mannix.
That's it.
Excellent.
The
actor
was Mike Connors.
Okay.
And right. Mannix was the character.
I could shut my brain off.
You turned it around like a Mobius loop.
You can go back to sleep, Jared. Okay. It took me a while, you know.
Okay, so we canceled that Order of Mannix questions. Maybe something on, let's see, Gunsmoke?
Doctor Who show.
Beverly Hillbillies. Yeah.
Beverly Hillbillies. I dated a guy that knew every plot.
Sonny Drysdale.
There were more than one plot?
Oh, there was, well, when Jethro Bodine Double becomes a court plot. Jester when they visit England. Okay.
Oh, okay. John is a garbage man. Come on.
Exactly. Ellie Mae and her critters in the cement pond. Come on.
I liked it when they went beat. Remember when they went beat?
Yes, when they went beat. That was an excellent episode.
It was kind of the Brady Bunch of its day where people just know the episode.
Well, even better than that was Green Acres. My roommate actually changed her schedule so she could stay in the room and watch Green Acres.
Doug, man, you get all this money. He climbs up the phone pole and stuff. He doesn't even have a ladder. Can't extend the wire. I'm saying to myself, God, even I could do that.
She really liked the character. She really liked Ava Gabor's character most of all. She used to imitate Oliver. She would do this. And I was like, you need help. The psych clinic is only it's a short walk. I'm sure they got a telly someplace in the waiting room, and you can watch Green Acres while you're waiting for the therapist. So, yeah, send us some questions on that because we'd like those. But the last question that came from Tom DeWitt was a question for the panel. He asked, who is your second favorite James Bond? Because he said it seems that Sean Connery is everybody's favorite.
Oh, not me.
Okay.
He's my second favorite.
Sean Connery. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who is your favorite?
If you say Roger Moore, I might hit you.
George Lazenby.
Okay. That's all
right. Oh. You can't reach me, Roger Moore.
For real?
Yes. It goes back to The Saint.
Excellent show.
Have you ever seen The Saint?
The Saint was a great show.
Was that the one with Simon Templar?
Yes. Was it Tony Curtis?
I actually think Brosnan.
No. There was another show that he was in with Tony Curtis.
See, I'm with you, dog. I'm not familiar with that one. Sean Connery, he's eye candy, but I'm telling you, Pierce Brosnan. Yeah, buddy. Thank you to die for. Okay.
In fact, if you want a really great romantic movie, rent his version of The Thomas Crown Affair with Rene Russo. It's wonderful.
And one other film I can recommend of his, which is came out with just a few years ago with Irish TV, was a film called Evelyn.
Mm-hmm.
A very, very remarkable film. Wonderfully acted. And again, he's just too cute on the eyes. So. Okay. Anybody else got any favorite James Bonds?
Talk about my second favorite Bond girl.
Okay. He didn't ask it, but let it rip. We're talking about man candy, go for it.
Well, who's your first favorite Bond girl?
It would be Jane Seymour after Carrie Lowell.
Oh, okay.
Which one was Carrie Lowell?
Okay. I can't remember the movie, but it was
it's
Roger.
One of the later ones. Jane Seymour was solitary.
Yeah, but she remembers Carrie Lowell, but you can't remember the movie, huh?
Bother to remember about who played Bond.
Ursula Andress.
That's it.
No, Halle Berry actually was,
Maude
was
Adams.
Probably.
That's right. She's very
one of the best girls.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we've just debonded, so we thank Tom, and we're going to make sure that you get a package and
a date with Barbara Bond.
And if only we could.
Or Olivia Dabo, if she's.
That's it. Our next set of questions comes from Andy Graham of Milford, Michigan, and these are, as he said, just trivia, but there's no standard here. We have no grading scale.
All right, cool, man.
Is that sort of like Open University or what?
What's it? Evergreen, Beth? Is that the one? They don't give grades? Is that the one?
Evergreen State College.
Yes. College, too, in Florida.
Oh, that's true.
They give you a little paragraph about what you were doing or not doing.
I think Evergreen's sort of seen as more respectable now than it was like in the early 70s.
Barely.
Barely?
Barely more respectable, yeah. Okay. And we like that, barely respectable.
That's where all the crazies went.
Absolutely. Yep. Okay. The average person takes how long to fall asleep?
20 minutes.
Much too long.
7 minutes.
15.
On the nose. Wow. Jeff, dog.
You know,
you timed it last night, didn't you?
No.
He has a big head. He's got lots of stuff in it.
It's exactly 7 minutes.
It's one of those number questions, so we all just give up on those numbers.
The trivia involves numbers is a good shot. If I've heard it, I'll remember it.
Jeff also has a very logical way. I love how you and Dan work out questions about
how many peanut butter sandwiches are eaten.
Yeah.
Let's solve this mathematically,
and you guys can do it. So it gives me hope.
That's my favorite show. I love that show.
Oh, that show's on Friday night.
Shows
you
are
such a Platonist.
Is this kind of numbers? Pythagorean.
I was going to say, very
Pythagorean.
Number
we talking about? I'll forget it.
The show numbers, I just want to say this about it. The mathematics you see on there is absolutely legitimate.
Are
they researched
really?
Really well. The only thing that's unrealistic is they do in a couple hours, which should take weeks on computers.
Doesn't the character
or a couple lifetimes for Jerry and I. Yeah, okay, dude.
You have to speed it up just to get the plot going.
And do they use chalkboards that much?
Sure, why not?
I was just wondering, because why don't you just plug everything into a computer?
Well, it's
It's the tactile feel of the chalk.
There's certain areas.
Yeah.
It's more interesting.
Well, no. Well, there's certain areas of mathematics where you use computers because the idea is to take an impossible problem, approximate it with several billion easy problems, and then turn the computer loose because you don't have time to solve a billion easy problems. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't have time to solve one on my SATs. I remember there was some real problem I had. You know? No thanks.
It falls into the category of smart cop shows.
Yeah.
There's a whole slew of them now.
Hmm,
you know,
okay.
It's now that now it is like the scientists actually tell the cops what to
well,
do.
Well, I'm looking around here. We got us some numbers here. So, Jeff, get ready.
I refer to numbers as CSI Caltech.
The average person laughs about how many times a day?
Not enough.
True enough. That's true enough. We need a lot more laughter.
Boy, average? How would you do
that? That's low, which surprises me, this number.
20?
That's a bit high.
15.
Exactly on the nose. Good man. You're sound. You know?
Number man comes off.
Number. Jerry didn't know. The secret mathematician was scratching to get out.
I got a math question right one time.
Yes, you did.
Because it was metric.
Because it's hundreds.
I
love metric.
You knew the weight of the tea
bag
or something.
Why can't we go
like
metric, you know?
It was
really
grams
bothers
and an ounce
me
or something was the question.
The average person walks the equivalent of this around the world, or this number of around the world in their lifetime. And I find this hard to believe, because I think we're very sedentary in this country.
It's going to be about 70 years. That's approximately 25,000 days.
See, this is
are these
how he
American,
does it
by the way?
These are Americans.
Okay.
This came from Milford, so
right. So how many miles do you think the average person walks in a day?
A mile and a half.
That's all? Really?
Yeah, because I was.
2 yards.
Did you see the film Supersize Me? Anyone see that documentary?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Okay, remember how they
spoiler
talked about the average New Yorker, they believe, walks 4 to 5 miles a day.
Yeah,
but the average American, they claim, only walks about 2 miles.
Then
tops
the answer
a
should
day
be about 50,000.
Okay.
50,000 miles?
Yeah, because the average American lives about 2,500 days.
So
the times around the Earth would be twice then.
Okay, this is saying 65,000, so I don't know how they came up with that unless
you're
they
in the
think.
Ballpark.
Yeah,
well, maybe they expect people to live longer or they walk
maybe
longer.
Maybe that's it. Okay, maybe, yeah. I was going to say something in that formula.
Along the equator.
Ooh, don't know.
I mean, if they're walking.
Wow,
along.
When we think about geography, let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
That was good for the self-esteem.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Our next set of questions comes from Keith Hedrick of Orange, California.
Yes.
Yes, how about that? And he says, I have enclosed 10 quotes. You need to figure out who said it. Yeah, right.
Keep hoping.
We'll take it, love.
You were working on your taxes, weren't you?
You need 6 out of 10 correct in order to win.
Okay. 6? This guy has low standards.
He's serious.
That's good.
That's why he writes to us.
He's a realist.
Who said? I have taken more out of alcohol than alcohol has taken out of me.
Noel Coward.
No, it's British.
Oh.
But it's a statesman.
Churchill.
That's right.
Churchill was at a party one night, and this woman came up to him. You know that story?
That story. But tell
yeah
her.
Yeah.
Please
tell
say.
Tell
I will
oh, she
you
was
as
being obnoxious, and she said, you know, Mr. Churchill, you're drunk. And he said, yes, madam, that's true, and you're ugly. But in the morning, I shall be sober, and you will still be ugly.
This wasn't Queen Elizabeth, was it?
he didn't know who it was.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a classic Ask the Professor program from October 2005, featuring the late Professor Kathy Bush as moderator.
And we're back with questions from Andy Graham of Milford, Michigan. And yes, indeed, Beth, this was one of your first concerts, right?
Probably.
Well, these are questions, some of them dealing with numbers and some not, but so far you guys are kicking them out. The average United States male will spend how many hours shaving during his lifetime?
Ugh. Well, for Dave, none.
Oh, now,
it takes a lot to shape
nice
this piece of facial
and
fair,
Jeff's
facial
got
hair
the beard thing going, too. So
an hour a week, maybe?
Okay, if you go an hour a week, that's 52.
And you do straight guy speed shaving. That,
oh,
you, that
oh, let me rip my face.
Kyan Douglas hates on Queer
Thank
Eye.
You.
We'll go with about 3,000.
I'm going to give hours. It to you. It's 2,995.
See, I can only get through the week. You know, I couldn't do any more math than that. After the week, I'm done.
He really is a prodigy.
The trick there is you had to cut it in three quarters at the end because men don't shave until they're about 16 or 17.
So. Ah, okay. All right. Yeah, how old were you when you started shaving, Dave?
That was about two.
A two? Okay. A good man. Okay.
Yeah, that's right there.
And
it's
you
as
had
gross
the
as this morning.
Fisher Price set? Was that it? But, okay. Excellent.
The little Fisher Price razor?
Oh, I had one of those. I actually had one of those.
I know.
Hey,
you're kidding,
man. I used to shave my legs with it. Really disturbed my parents.
Oh, Tiger did that when we were living in Louisiana because Mary and Sally had just started shaving their legs, and Tiger thought it would be cool, and he just.
Oh.
There was blood everywhere.
Oh, poor beggar. Oh, my God.
He gave him the Fisher Price.
How did the tradition of the kiss given by the bride to the groom at the wedding ceremony originate?
It was a game of pass the orange, and it sort of.
We wed. You only wed. I don't think that was happening.
Yes.
Anybody have any ideas why that kiss? From the bride to the groom at the end of the ceremony originated?
It probably involved women proving something.
Yes,
really
it did. Actually, it did, with women being virgins and making this comment and showing this pledge in front of their village.
Well, wait a sec.
Which I think
you're saying that, like, what's the rationale here?
I don't think there is any. That's the whole issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, well, if she kissed him, he must be a virgin. Well,
she must be.
Or she must be a virgin. Yeah.
She had to show the entire community that she didn't know how to kiss yet.
That's right.
Oh, that much of a virgin. If she was an inept kisser.
That's right.
If she was,
you know,
had a
like
sort of a chase.
Lick him all over. Or something, you know, something
if she was
way,
demure.
You know, it was just pretty bad.
Too much slobber, you know.
That's right.
Are you giving people bad memories of high school here?
It is a good thing to rehearse before the actual ceremony.
I mean, we hope so.
Do you use the mirror or something?
No, you sort of want to make sure it's not, you know, sucking face, as my grandma Lazar would say.
Playing tonsil hockey. No thanks. That's not good. Thank you. No good. What is the most common name in the world? This would be the most common first name in the world. No.
Muhammad.
It is Muhammad. Absolutely.
That doesn't even
Now, this question is a little outdated. I don't know if Andy did his research, but what was the largest single-ticket jackpot winner of an American lottery?
$80 million.
Somebody just
way
won $340 million.
Thank you. That's me.
Yeah.
But this is
better
be
somebody
related
to me.
Isn't it a senator or something?
This was a guy in West Virginia.
Say bad, Oregon. No, I'm sorry. That was a cheap shot.
That was, and it was good. But anyway, landed right there. No, but this was.
What did you say? We just lost our listeners out there.
No, you did. Okay. It's 2002. Did anybody want to guess the amount of that? And if this was a soul-winning ticket, this is not one of those like lotto
clubs. Million.
No, a bit higher.
300. Well, we just had 340.
This is $314.9 million.
Was it in Ohio? Wow. Or
West Virginia.
That's like 100 pi million.
Oh, that's, wow. You think about that. Wow. I mean, that's like the budget of West Virginia, dude. It has to be. No, I mean, big time.
On the Powerball thing, he won five or six numbers, and his comment was, well, I'll just do what my wife tells me to do with the money.
Good for all right. Him. Listening up.
But like, he needs the money. You know, a U.S. senator needs the money.
Oh, so sweet to have that kind
It's not
of
like their base salary is a lot to write
home. No.
It's the graft.
How many Hitlers were listed in the New York City phone book before World War II? How many
That's probably
Family
a
Hitler.
Common name.
Oh, yeah.
In Germany.
I guess at least, probably about 50.
That's a little high, actually. A little high.
25?
Right on the nose.
Ah, wow.
Now, how many after the war?
Zero.
Exactly. I think you might
Wouldn't you change your name?
I was going to say, what would you change your name
like
to?
I'm sorry.
Okay. Huh.
Well, he got killed in prison, which was not an unexpected result.
True.
That's true. The states of Washington and Montana execute prisoners by what?
Firing squad.
Firing squad.
No.
Hanging. Oh, that's Utah.
Utah is the firing squad.
Gary Gilmore.
This was a huge
Gary
thing.
Gary Gilmore, that's right.
When Wesley Allen Dodd asked
him. Yeah, that's right. That's
and there
right.
And they was like, if you don't do it properly, it arguably would be cruel and unusual punishment because it would be asphyxia instead of, if you do it properly, your neck should snap.
Dude, we so need Matt here.
Uh-oh.
He's asking for what three chemicals are used to execute criminals by lethal injection?
Potassium cyanide.
That's one. That's right.
One's got to be something that puts them to sleep.
Sodium pentothal?
That might be one of them.
Yep, that's the second. And I've never heard of this other one.
And this other one would stop the heart.
Well, the cyanide would do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
pancurionum? I've never heard of this medication. Don't know it.
I wonder if it's like a curare derivative, so it's
well,
a
if it's, yeah, I think it's
probably
a muscle relaxer then. It has to be. If it's a curare, it's got to be. But
why isn't all capital, I mean, have been granted that there should be any. Why isn't it all done that way?
Because we have this thing called states' rights in the United States. It's the way. It's the wave of the future.
Sort of like how
actually states' rights are a good thing, except for that.
Yeah, this is like, oh, please.
Dark.
You know, I find myself really upset sometimes when I find myself agreeing with some certain people. It's the only thing I agree with Bill O'Reilly.
What's that?
He's anti-death penalty.
Really?
Yes, he is. I almost fell down and hit the tiles when he was interviewed by Terry Gross. I almost drove my car literally off.
Yeah, I know. When that comes, it's quite a shock.
He no, just he throws you those curves so you'll think that he's not what he is.
But I just heard that, and I literally pulled my car off the road and down a side street in Detroit.
You mean you can actually remember where you were?
I can totally remember.
Like when Kennedy
it
was
is.
Shot.
It was. Yeah. Oh my God! I agree with Bill O'Reilly on this topic.
I remember where I was when Kennedy was shot. I remember exactly.
You know what? I was Bozo the Clown was coming on, and it was my favorite show, and I had been preempted. And I was complaining to my mother that Bozo wasn't on, and my mother's going, shh, president's been shot.
I wasn't born yet.
Well, I just dated myself.
Our generation, it's more, where were you when the Challenger blew up?
Oh, it's that?
I know where I was. Then.
I think I was.
Teaching school.
I was fixing the transmitter at WWJ, and it just blew up.
When Reagan got shot.
9/11.
At the newsroom.
I don't remember where I was.
The number of triplets born in the United States in 1994 was 4,594. Which was more than triple the number born in 1971. Why?
Fertility drugs? Fertility
absolutely. Drugs. The use of fertility-enhancing drugs and techniques, including its increased to the increased older age of mothers.
Hmm. That's how Drew's sister ended up with twin boys.
Yowza. Mm-hmm. The vocabulary of the average American consists of how many words?
300.
Now.
Do swear words,
they just said words, dog. They didn't say. Yeah. They said vocabulary. I suppose the American lexicon.
20,000.
Because that increases.
That's high. That's high.
Vocabulary exponentially.
That's a little high.
15,000?
500.
Way too low, still too high.
2,000.
Still low. Now, I'm amazed at this. They must be counting articles. They have to be.
There are 400,000 words in the English language.
They report here the vocabulary of the average person, 5,000 to 6,000 words. Thank you. I was going to say, where at? Okay? You got
where are these average people at?
Any book, you'll find more words than that. In just about any novel you buy off a bestseller list.
Yes, but nobody reads those.
That's what I was going to say. Come on.
Because nobody reads anymore unless it's on the internet.
Oh, no. I'll never
it's
give
depressing.
Up
books.
There Me is neither. Nothing better than holding them in your hand. I'm sorry. There's
so
just,
many
there's
books,
about
so
that.
Little time.
That's right. The U.S. President's cabinet is composed of how many different departments? Name those people that sit on the President's cabinet.
It's 13 of them, right?
I was going to say 12, actually.
I thought 14. Yeah.
How many?
Where's Roy Finkenbein? He would know this.
No.
Actually, there's a little more than that, friends. Really? Well, because recently we've had a few additions.
Yeah, they keep adding Homeland Security.
That's right. There you go. Secretary of Homeland Security.
Secretary Interior.
Attorney General.
Okay, yeah, Attorney General.
Interior. Treasury and Defense.
Treasury and Secretary of Defense.
Interior.
Interior.
Exterior.
If you say,
Health, Education, and Welfare.
Health, Education, and Welfare. Well, actually, now that's referred to
Secretary
as...
Secretary of Labor.
Okay. Yeah, Secretary of Labor.
Housing and Urban Development.
HUD. Yes, right. Okay, what else? Nobody even thinks of moo cows in here? You boy, a bunch of... That's right. I was going to say, you urban mavens in here. Yeah. Come on now. Okay, got commerce. What's big in this city? What do we put the world on wheels for? Absolutely. Sad to say, but they're not doing
their... Department of Education.
Yeah, Department of Education. And sad to say, this is a group probably not doing what they need to be doing for our guys coming back from the Middle East.
Oh, Veterans Affairs.
Exactly. There you go. That's it. Good show. You guys, pretty literate there. Look how many words you just used in that. By survey, who were the three best-known Western names in China? And this is in mainland China.
In what year?
This was done in 1998. So the three best-known Western names in China.
Michael Jordan.
Well, these would be historic figures or...
old Vulcan proverb, only Nixon could go to China.
That's right. Richard Nixon is one of them. Good show. Hey, there's Roy.
I would say maybe Kissinger.
No, I'm so surprised. And we're welcoming Roy Finkenbein.
Hey, Roy,
you just missed when everybody said you should have been here for this last question.
But then we didn't need you anyhow.
That's right.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, but the current question on table is the three best-known Western names in China.
Michael Jackson.
Nixon. Michael
Jordan.
No, I was so surprised.
I said Michael Jordan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You
well,
got
I was trying
Richard
to piggyback.
Nixon. Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon we know is one of them. This is really scary, these last two.
Madonna?
Male or female?
Both. Well, one definitely male, and one that some people would say that this person really has no gender.
Boy George.
RuPaul? I don't think they let Ru on Radio Tiananmen Square. You know what I'm
saying?
Things
are easy when you're big in Japan. So.
Pat from Saturday Night Live?
No. Think.
Mickey Mouse.
No, think 50s music phenomenon. This is.
Oh, Liberace.
Elvis.
Elvis, yeah.
The King. Okay.
And this one surprises me because I thought this was something that was rather banned in China, not allowed.
Second children.
No, that, yeah, there is that. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Super.
Now, wait a minute. And he's considered Western?
That's what I mean. Isn't that what I'm saying. Isn't that interesting? I find that really, really interesting. Yep. Roy, you came just in time because he's got some questions here on U.S. presidentes. Ooh, okay. Three U.S. presidents four never attended university or college. Can you name those presidents?
Bush.
No, he went.
He never attended.
Yeah, he was in Rome.
He was in the National Guard. You know, was that?
Yeah. Well, Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, exactly right. George Washington.
Probably a lot of early guys.
Jefferson went to William and Mary.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What about Abraham Lincoln?
Abraham Lincoln is another one. And this was a guy who sadly, truly wanted to go. That's one of the saddest things I remember reading in his memoir. But the family just did not have the cash.
Grant.
He went to the U.S. Military Academy. Okay. So Grant went. No, this is a more modern president, Harry Truman. Yeah. How badly he wanted to go.
Truman?
Yeah, his dad suffered a really bad. There was an accident, and then on the farm there had been a bad something with the crops. They had to sell out, move into town, and the family just did not have the money. Yeah,
he took like night courses at
a business school.
Oh.
Yeah,
Is Reagan the other one?
No, the other one is Grover Cleveland.
Grover!
Okay. Well, let us thank the panel. Professor Oljor.
Later.
Professor Boats.
Elmo and Big Bird didn't go either.
No, they didn't. Professor Kurtzinger.
All learning is valuable.
Professor Finkenbein.
Watch out for Big Bird and the avian flu.
Always. Professor Kokol.
Knowledge is power.
And visiting Professor Sharon Vlahovic.
Thank you for having me.
It's an Ask the Professor. Flashback 1995.
Who said only in a police state is the job of a policeman easy?
Gore Vidal.
No. No, it's an American actor, director, filmmaker, stage director, theater.
Orson Welles.
That's right. Orson Welles. That's right. Who said moral indignation, jealousy with a halo?
That's nice.
Oh, Sarah.
Is that Emily White?
No. And just joining us from the Department of History, the chairman of that department, Professor Sarah Gravel.
Somebody's sitting in my chair. Out of my forage bowl.
Oh, don't relax.
What about your bed?
Nobody's sleeping in my bed.
Okay.
Oh, you poor love.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of CST, yes, the hub of U of D Media in the basement of the Briggs Building and run by the Communication Studies Department of the University of Detroit Mercy. Ask the Professor is produced, technically directed, witnessed, and kept in line by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. So until next week, I'm your host, Kathy Bush. Come on, Lions, can you guys win one?
The summer of Ask the Professor Classics continues next week, so please plan to join us. Thank you.